Hello, everybody. This is Ben Rogers here on Local Matters. Excited to have an actual first-time guest, but no stranger to the Upper Cumberland, with Representative Ryan Williams. Hey, Ryan. Thanks for being here. Man.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, appreciate.
Sorry, I was a little late.
Oh no, you're good. Appreciate you taking the time. I know you've been. You're still deep into session, and hopefully in the next couple of weeks y'all can wrap up and you can take a little bit of break. But want to thank you for what you do for our community in Putnam County, and you're our rep for most of the county, not all of it. Used to be, and then redistricting happened four years ago. Oh, gosh.
Three and a half years ago,
and you have, you know, like all good west, right? Is that an accurate statement?
Yeah. I go a little bit up the plateau, but not far. I got two precincts, but the rest of it I share with the speaker.
And so y'all both do a good job for Putnam County, and I do want to get in your career, but I want to say something first. Last year, my career changed in the first day I was at session, which was a Tuesday. You were in Finance, Ways and Means, maybe, committee, and it was crowded in there. I don't even know what the hot topic was that day. I just know it was my first time over there lobbying, and my counterpart Bryce, which you know Bryce real well, was with me. And you stopped, and I didn't know y'all did this, but you stopped the whole meeting and said, "Mr. Chairman, I'd like to recognize our Putnam County Commission Chairman, Ben Rogers." And I was like, "Oh, wow." You know, I stood up, waved, thank you. And that did so much for me the next couple of weeks lobbying with Bryce. For those representatives on the committee, they said, "Hey, Ryan pointed you out," and that went so, and still helping me. So I appreciate that.
Well,
you didn't have to do that.
I know, but it's good. You know what's crazy about it is that I don't get enough people coming up there and visiting. So when I get to see a familiar face, we definitely want to take a time to recognize folks.
Well, I tell people, hey, if you go, you know, make sure they see you and they'll recognize you. You know, it's like I had Ed Butler on, and his daughters are there, and he recognizes them. So anyway, thank you for that, and thank you for what you do. So I do want to get your background, because I know a lot of people know who you are, and you're from this area and been here a long time. But your first call to service was city council for City of Coolville, right?
Right, it was.
So when was that? When did you?
That was in 2006.
Okay.
So I served on city council from 2006 to 2010. In complete transparency, I don't ever remember seeing my parents vote as a kid. So it's kind of weird. And, of course, Abby grew up here. Her dad came here after Vietnam, went to Tech. And so she's been here our whole life. And, of course, she and I met in college. And that's how I ended up in Cookeville, and 26 years ago yesterday.
Actually. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
I started work here, and so it was been a great place to raise our family and really love it. Now kids are gone, but it was a great opportunity. But I guess people ask me a lot of times, like, why politics? And quite frankly, I never wanted to be politics. The thought never crossed my mind. And anybody that says this is all I've ever wanted to do, they make me nervous. And they probably do you, too.
They do.
Because they probably don't understand that it's how much work it is and what a huge sacrifice it is for your family, too.
Yeah.
Because there are more people mad at you than happy with you. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Washington, D.C. in 2000. Abby and I went there with a small group from our church. We were there because that was, if you remember, that was the era of the hanging chad. It was like the first time we had a kind of weird thing going on. And we spent a lot of time in prayer and thinking about what was going on then. And when I was up there, I just really felt called to, maybe this is something I ought to do, and we prayed about it, and we thought, well, we'll run for city council. Nobody knows who we are. Of course, everybody knew her family, but no one knew who I was. And of course, she took my name, which I was thankful for. And so not a lot of people knew me, and so when the opportunity came to run, I thought, well, I'll put my name in the hat and do the work and see if people elect me. Mm-hmm. And of course, it must have been a down year, and they take the top five vote getters, and I was number five. Yeah. I think I got in by the hair of my teeth.
Right.
But it was a great experience for us. It was great to meet people in the community. Of course, nothing better, as you know, than local government.
Sure.
I mean, it's amazing. It's a great opportunity. You're really as close as you can possibly get to the people, and an opportunity to serve. And so I really enjoyed it, and it was a great time. And I look back on it and some of the things we were able to do. You know, when I got on city council, something we were very passionate about was Dogwood Park. And to see 25 years later, or what is that, 15 years later, people are using it every day that the weather's decent.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of nice to see that, because it really improves quality of life. And, you know, what we did with the hospital from then till now has been really good. So really excited about it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place. And that 4 years of service on the council, I'm sure, taught you a lot, right, about local government and service?
Yeah, I think Alma Anderson, she and I came on together, and she said, we're just here pushing back the walls of ignorance. And she used to say that to her students a lot. And yeah. I thought, well, that's kind of like that. And I'll never forget Jean Davis. She got me in there. Of course, I was the youngest person on the council at the time. And she got me to the side and she said, Ryan, I just want you know, the wheels of government move slow.
Yes.
And so it is very true. It is very true. And she and Bobby have been great friends for a long time now and appreciate their service to our community too. And just like you, there's, you know, people have gone before us and served in capacities that are pretty amazing. So it's a great opportunity and honor to do that.
Yeah, serving local government, you learn patience, right? Because government in general moves slow. And I will say state government, to me, moves fairly quick for
it
you
does.
All. Y'all do a lot of things and get a lot done. But local government, it's sometimes hard to get things done. You got a lot of procedures and red tape and you're going through and, you know, permits and, you know, all these things from other agencies, state and federal. But, you know, it's an honor. It's a privilege to serve.
It is.
And I'm very grateful for that opportunity as well.
Well, you take 12 months of service. You take your 12 months of service and you compress it into 15 weeks.
Yes.
It'd be a lot faster, too.
That's a really good point. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. So I'm curious, in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
You ran for rep then, right?
I did.
And what made you decide? You're a young city councilman for the city of Cookeville, and Cookeville's a big town. I mean, I'm not saying it's small, but going from a city to the state, I know you're serving a district, but you're serving the state, right?
Yeah.
As a state rep.
Yeah.
What was your decision to take that leap?
It's a long one, so I'll try to be real fast.
This is your show.
I actually went. I served on the council. There's only one person. I might as well say his name real quick, Sam Salee. But there was another person on the council that I served with, and that was Ricky Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricky said, hey, I'm thinking about running for state representative, but, you know, I really don't know what I want to do. And he's like, why don't you go to this meeting with me? And so I went, and Ricky and I were bantering back and forth, should it be you, should it be me? And we were doing that. And Ricky and I have a great relationship, and we always have, even since then, service together. And he came back, and I thought, you know, maybe I should serve. I don't know. But I'd already picked up my papers to run for city council for a second term because you're term limited.
Right.
And I thought about doing it. And then it depends on your point of view or your biblical worldview, I guess. I had somebody show up my office on a Monday morning, and he walked in, and I thought he was there to see me about construction services. And he didn't. He came to see me, and I'd never met the guy before. He came in, and he's like, And I'd had a really good quiet time that morning, the day before, and just really felt kind of called to do it. But I was like, I really just need confirmation to do this. This guy walks in there, met him. I sit him down in the conference room, my full-time job. And he says, hey, I don't know you from Adam. You don't know me. But I really feel like that you're probably supposed to run for state representative. And I was like, there's no way. You know, it's like the coincidence is just too great. And so went home. Abby and I prayed about it. The next morning, in my life, been really blessed. I call them blue-haired ladies, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but they're usually a group of older women that have always been in my life, that I started with my grandmother, that I've always been able to go to and say, hey, pray about this. This is what I'm really thinking about doing, but I want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do what's permissible. I want to do what's perfect. And if I'm supposed to do this, I'm going to do it. I don't think I can win. And so they prayed about it. We prayed about it and just felt like a confirmation that we were supposed to do it. And so there's a lot more to that story, but I'll give you that abbreviated version. So the next morning, I went and picked up papers to run. And, of course, the person I ran against, I actually spent time, the Tennessee Bar Association Day on the Hill was last week. I got to spend time with him for the first time forever.
I saw him last week, too.
Yeah, and I was like, this is great. I love it. And at the time, it was very controversial. You know, the Democrats were in the majority still.
Right.
It was a completely different time. You know, I was the first Republican to run in any capacity and a long time.
Right.
And the last one that did, you know, ended up in prison.
Right.
Rightfully so.
Yes, sure.
And so I took it very seriously, and I picked up papers, I filed them, and immediately I get a text that says, this is a fight you don't want. And I'm like, oh, no, what have I done? And so I went to one of my friends who helped run my first campaign in the city council, and I said, you know, well, give me an idea. What do you think my chances are? And he said, well, you got a 5% chance.
Wow.
And I thought, man, what with friends like that, who needs enemies?
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So threw a little bucket of cold water on me. But, you know, run for your office and for mine. It's one of those things where he who does the work gets pay. And so we made 7,000 phone calls, and we knocked on, I think it was 2,100 doors, and it was a lot of work, and sent out a lot of mail. And so I apologize in advance to everybody that's got a lot of mail from us. But It's been great. And so found favor. It was supposed to be one of the closest races in the state. Ended up winning by 11 percentage points.
I was about to say, it wasn't that close, if I remember right.
It wasn't that close, but a lot of it, you know, timing was a lot of it. That was when, Barack Obama had been in office for 2 years, and there was some angst among folks about what was going on, the direction that party was going, and where the Republican Party was going. And so it was a combination of a lot of things, and I believe it was just providential, really, right, to do that. And so was able to get elected, and so the rest is kind of history. Been there, gosh, 15 years now.
Yeah.
It's kind of been my kids have seen me in some kind of elected service longer than they've not. So it's kind of been good, but Abby and I still feel called to do it. I mean, it you would think that eventually you'd do it, but then it gets to the point where you're like, well, can somebody do better for me than our community? Maybe. I don't know. But we're going to do it as long as we still feel called to do it, and we're just honored. You know, I told somebody yesterday, if you ever lose – and you're there now.
Yeah.
So if you ever lose the feeling when you walk up to the Capitol and you're like, this thing's been here 150 years and I'm one of 132 people who get to do it. If you ever lose the gravity of that, you need to go home.
Well, that's perfect, because I've been doing this for a year now and I'm one of basically 58 state directors in the country, mm-hmm, right? And if I ever get lost and don't feel like it's an honor, then I need to go home.
Agreed.
But I'm one of like 58 that do what I do, and it's like, oh, wow, this is – when you put in that perspective, you really thank God for what you got.
Yeah.
And you're grateful for that. So,
yeah. And you're having a pretty good year. I think I've seen 3 bills already you guys have gotten passed. Not bad.
Don't
tell
jinx
you.
Me.
Not everybody can do that their first year.
No.
It took me a lot longer to pass my first 3 bills.
And
I was in every subject matter out there.
Yeah,
so, anyways, I've been watching.
I appreciate that. I've got Ryan Williams, state representative for district number
42
here in Putnam County. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters. I have state representative Ryan Williams with me here just to talk about all things Tennessee government and his background and call to service. Ryan, we were talking before we left about you've been in 15. This is your 15th year. You have one more year left in a 2-year term. That's the terms for state representatives in Tennessee. What's the disadvantages of running every 2 years? I know it's a lot of work, but what's some other factors that go into that you kind of wish that were different?
Well, it's a great question. I think the biggest challenge for me is that whenever you're serving in office, if you're a state senator, you get 4 years to actually do the job, and you've got one of those years where you're running to do it again if you so choose to do so. Being a state representative, I literally go from running to serving to running to serving. And it's constant in order to do that. And, of course, it takes money to put postcards in the mail. It takes all this so you're constantly fundraising. And so I'm advocating, I'm legislating, and I'm fundraising.
Yeah.
One of those all the time.
Right.
And it's very taxing.
Right.
And as you know, now probably more than ever, this is my part-time job.
Yeah.
You know, which is what makes the legislature in Tennessee so amazing, is because you do get a great cross-section of people, but it's not really, it should never be your identity.
Right.
You know, it's not who I am, it's what I do. And so it's very difficult, because you feel like, because I've looked at other offices and you're like, man, well, and I've joked with Paul about it all the time, and he's like, you know, I get to do it every 4 years.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've never been able to do that except for the city council. And it makes it difficult, because what you want to do is spend as much time as you can on legislative priorities, constituent services, and it makes it very difficult to do that and have a full-time job.
Yeah, and I've learned so much in the last year of being in this position, but this is my first full session. You all work. I think the perception is that you're not there a lot, but during session, you're there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Friday is the only day you're not there, right?
That's right.
And sometimes you're there on Friday, because I was there 2 Fridays ago, last Friday, in a meeting with Lieutenant Governor's staff,
yeah,
you know, and so I got called to a meeting there, and we met about some things, and I'm sure you're aware of, we can mm-hmm. talk about later, but you know, Monday morning till Thursday afternoon,
mm-hmm.
you're legislating,
mm-hmm.
you're advocating, and yeah. it's work.
It is.
And if you got a full-time job back home, then yeah. you come home, you got to do it, right?
Yeah, and of course, I have those employees that I'm responsible for in my full-time job. I come in on Monday mornings, 7 o'clock. We have our sales and Devo, and we head off and do our work. And by 10 o'clock, I'm out the door, and
yeah.
I don't walk back in till usually 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Thursday. And when we work 4-10s, in the office. I'm literally at work by myself on Friday and half a day on Saturday,
right?
Just to catch up on my full time job. Yeah. So when I'm in session, it takes a big toll.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about session some, and we can talk about this year. But I do want to talk about since you've been in 15 years. What are some of the bills that you sponsored that you're most proud of, you're the happiest with? What are some of those?
Right. Of course, no one ever forgets their first bill. And ironically, we may talk a little bit later about one of the bills that's kind of going through the legislature now. But the first bill I dealt with is I got a call from a person here in Putnam County whose child had overdosed on what was called Molly's plant food. It was a methamphetamine derivative that was Chinese made that was being sold in convenience stores, and they could easily change a negatively or positively charged ion and kind of go around the state statute as it relates to its legality. And so the first bill I ever did was a ban on what was called then Molly's plant food and its derivatives across the state. And being able to hear of an issue that's going on in your local community, be able to file a bill to in order to do that, and for that bill to see it through to fruition and know that you're actually saving the lives of Tennesseans is pretty amazing. It really stimulates you to understand better how important your job is. And, of course, most of the bills that I'm super proud of, most of the people in the district would probably know of. Of course, most of the things that I focus my time on because of the role that I play there is in regards to making sure that we're fiscally conservative.
Right.
And every year, I've particularly in the last 7 years, I've had the opportunity to help steward the budget and what happens there, particularly providing services for our citizens in regards to health care and transportation. This year, probably the most important or the most consequential bill I have is one that's called the Corporate Practice of Medicine. Really important, particularly to Cookeville Regional Medical Center, because as you know, it's a city-owned hospital.
Sure.
And managed by a board, but it's really important. And, you know, 35 years ago, the laws were that you couldn't employ certain physicians or certain practices because they didn't want hospitals to self-deal to themselves. And what's happened is, as medicine has changed over the last 35 years, it's become very difficult to deliver quality medicine without hiring employees for yourself. And so last summer we had one of those outsourced companies called APP went into bankruptcy and failed, and our Cookeville Regional Medical Center found itself without an emergency room department.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went from the largest employer in our little community here, serving eight other counties' healthcare needs, to just a big medical office building because we didn't have ER physicians. So no emergency room. And so it was very difficult that was the case because the law kept us from hiring our own ER physicians.
Right.
But unfortunately, Abby and I found ourselves in the ER 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
It was, and she's doing fine now, but everything, the difference was, is that when we walked into the door, triage was great, you know, check-in was great, but then we get back to a physician who I'm entrusting my wife's life with, and somebody who's not committed to here, flew in from Dallas, just, you know, they're not entrenched in our community. It's not about workforce or community. And so the quality of healthcare can be impugned just because the person's not in our community. Their kids don't go to the same school we do. They don't go to the same church or eat at the same restaurants we do. And so that bill is going to be extremely consequential. It's going to be on the House floor next week. And so Senator Bailey and I have, a little bit different versions of the same bill. And so he and I are going to have to try to get together and sort out the differences so we can see it pass. But we're really excited about it. Those are the kinds of things that not just impact the quality of healthcare that we'll deliver here in Putnam County, all across the state, particularly in rural areas, because we'll be able to get people to invest in the community to come here and provide healthcare, because that's really hard. Because in all those with pathology, radiology, ED, or I always forget one, I can't remember the fourth for some reason, all those roles could now be, or anesthesiology was the fourth role, but we were able to draft the bill in such a way that the current practice is not impugned, but allows us the opportunity to do that. So we can negotiate for better rates from insurance, whether it's teen care or private insurance. And so it's going to be a game changer, I think, for our local hospital and every rural community across the state. And so I'm really excited about that. But it's things like that along the way in the last 15 years that really solidify the reason why you do what you do.
Yeah.
And so most people would never know that change. But this week I had a a class come up from New Colossus Academy. One of the girls, she was really interested in this bill because her dad was an anesthesiologist. Yeah. It was just exciting to know that here we have a 13-year-old girl from Putnam County coming to visit, see what happens, sitting in committee, hearing the discussion. So it's really exciting.
So speaking of committees, let's talk about the ones you serve on. What committees do you serve on and what positions do you hold?
Okay. I currently serve on Finance Full, which and then I'm the chairman of Finance Subcommittee.
Right.
I serve on Health Sub, and I serve on Health Full. Also a member of Pensions. So when everything relates to TCRS, those bills come through there. Which is a really important part of what we do, managing our state employees. So.
Yeah. Well, you serve on the committee. You just said the important things to you are health care and the budget, right? And so you're perfectly serving those roles in those committees.
Yeah.
With finance, ways and means, and health, and then, of course, pensions is obviously important to people like me. So I'm with State Representative Ryan Williams. We're talking all things legislation in Tennessee. We'll be back in just a moment after this break. Welcome back to Local Matters. Ben Rogers with State Representative Ryan Williams. Great so far, Ryan. Again, thank you for being here.
It's been
wonderful so far. Wonderful information. Good hearing from a state rep that has been serving in this area for 15 years now. And so you've got at least 1 year left on your term. And we won't talk about the future yet. We may get to it today. We may not. But we'll definitely get to it at some point. So curiosity killed the cat. And when I'm sitting in committees and watching you all conduct business and legislation, I have 100 questions that just go through my brain. And honestly, want to just text you and Paul and say, what in the world? Or how does this happen? What does this work?
You should.
I should, but I don't want to bombard y'all. So here was what I was thinking the other day. There's a bill. You had mentioned this last segment. You have a bill, and Paul has a version of it, and you're going to get together and work it out. But there's another bill that's been big for county government, and it's the transfer, what we call the transfer tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned there's like 5 versions. I know mm-hmm. Representative Bricken has one. I think Whip Garrett has one. How in the world do y'all work that out? First of all, how does that happen,
yeah,
in your opinion? How do y'all work that out?
Well, the good news is we have 95 counties, first of all. And every county has a representative. And so mm-hmm. a lot of times what happens is something that's really important to this city manager or county mayor, they say, Johnny, go file this bill. It's really important to us. We'll talk to you about it later. And what, because sometimes we just file a caption bill. It doesn't really have any language in it because we got to fill it with language later through an amendment. And so a lot of times people will file a bill, and then they'll, in your instance, sometimes you'll file a bill, and then you'll go get somebody to file a backup in case something happens to that. So sometimes you get same bills on same subject matter because sometimes it's the bill sponsor.
Right.
Sometimes it's the language.
Sure.
Sometimes it's the Senate sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of different things that can happen to make a bill, go off the rails, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you have different ones. But ultimately, like you were talking about these two bills you were talking about, what ends up happening is like one may say, we're gonna reduce the transfer. We're going to provide the transfer tax. We're going to give 50% of the transfer tax, real estate transfer tax, to the counties. But instead of trying to find enough revenue to fund it with state government in 1 year, we're going to roll it into a 4-year deal like we did with the Hall income tax, and then sometimes somebody will carry that bill.
So okay,
if you can't find the money to do one, you might be able to find the money to do the other. And sometimes you have different versions of the same subject matter. And then along the way, as you see, well, we're going to cut this out of the governor's budget, and we're going to fund this over here instead. And so sometimes, based upon how much money we're able to cut and spend and provide new services through taxation or constitutional change or whatever it may be, we'd be able to generate the revenue in order to pay for that.
Right.
So a lot of people don't realize this, but if we want to give anyone a tax break, we have to offset it with revenue in order to do that. So we have to be able to spend that money or raise that money, and those monies have to be available to do it.
Okay.
And so the real estate transfer tax is a really sticky wicket because it's 100. If you were to give half of the real estate transfer tax to counties, you know this, your listeners might not, mm-hmm. but if you were to give half of it, that's $144 million. To give you an idea of all the new bills that we passed this year so far, save one that we might talk about later, we're going to generate about $31 million of recurring tax revenue, which is what you'd have to have. Recurring means it's going to happen every year. Non-recurring means it's just one-time money.
Right.
And so in order to do the real estate transfer tax, we would have to do a 5-year rollout and use that $30 million to get to $144 million.
Right.
And so it'd be $30 million this year, and then we had to find $30 million next year to make it 60, and then we had to find $30 million next year to make it 120 or 90, and then 120, and sure. so on. So that's how you would technically do it. Sometimes you spread it out over time, but ultimately what happens is the House sponsor and the Senate sponsor, when the bills get to the House and Senate floor, they have to be identical. If they're not identical, then we bat them back and forth like a tennis match
right.
until somebody gives,
right.
meaning the House concedes to the Senate or the Senate concedes to the House. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that doesn't happen. When that doesn't happen, what they do is they call a huddle. They throw three senators in the huddle, three House members in the huddle, one conference committee chairman, and they have to come out with a solution. And they come out with a solution that's called a minority report, which means the fewest people want to do it that way, and a majority report. And then the majority report is submitted to both the House and the Senate as the compromise, and you can either vote it up or vote it down. If you vote up the majority, if both chambers vote to approve the conference committee report, then that's the new bill.
Okay.
And then that bill goes to the governor for signing.
Okay.
Or well, veto.
That's a great explanation. I was just curious, and language is everything, and
it is.
And titles of bills. And here's what I've learned. One of the bills you spoke of got through you all just this week in the House floor was the, and this is our fault, really. We call it the TWRA bill, and TWRA's idea. It was the county clerks who offer, which there's only like 34 in the state,
right.
who offer to get fishing and hunting license in their offices. And mm-hmm. and we were just adding a couple dollars to that fee to get that license in the county clerk's office to match what you pay online to get your hunting and fishing license, right?
Exactly.
So we were making it uniform, but we approached it. The county clerks said, let's call it the TWRA fee bill. And the TWRA said, we're neutral on it, but don't call it our bill because
exactly.
we don't care, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so a couple people voted no because mm-hmm. they thought TWRA was trying to raise the cost of their fish and hunting license, mm-hmm. and it was the county clerks that was just wanting to recoup some cost.
That's right.
So language and verbiage and all that stuff is very important.
Yeah, and a lot of territorial stuff going on sometimes with that too, which the TWRA is very, rightfully so, very defensive of their revenues, and they have plenty of revenues
sure.
right now,
yeah,
and they don't want people are thinking that they're raising those even though they got all this money in the bank.
Right. Yeah. So just some clarification. Now, let's talk about current legislation you sponsored. That give me one that you really – or two, however much time we got. We got a little 5 minutes. So mm-hmm. let's talk about one that you're sponsoring now.
Okay. I have one that I've worked with the Department of Education about and with the Sheriff's Association about regarding search of students. We had an instance here. Most of the stuff that I do is based upon somebody that we've met, something that's happened here.
Sure.
And I had a parent whose child was searched, and there's a policy regarding search as it relates to all school systems. Putnam County has a great one. But sometimes the people that are doing the search are not trained to how to do it and protect the Fourth Amendment rights of not only the minor but the parent, because right. the parent is responsible for the minor. And so this year, because of that bill, because of what happened in the school system, we were able to work with all the parties and make sure we did that. Department of Education is for the bill. The Sheriff's Association is against the bill, or it's for the bill. Originally, both the Department of Education and Putnam County School System and the Sheriff's Office didn't like the bill.
Right.
And I got plenty of calls from them. And it's mainly because I don't know the best way to do it. But
right.
with all the departments and agencies and state government, we get all those people together. We find a compromise that works that meets the requirements that we're able to do that. I do have that bill this year. Senator Bailey's carrying it as well. But it actually makes the process better, more predictable. And it also provides training for those administrators of schools, principals, to be able to give them the opportunity to have the training necessary in order to do the search, and also preserve the different requirements as it relates to when a law enforcement officer does a search as an acting agent for the school,
mm-hmm.
and when it reaches a heightened standard wherever they're actually acting as someone for the sheriff's office as an SRO. So there's a bifurcated standard there.
Right.
Because we want our schools to be safe, and so this, we believe, is a better way, and it moved out of education this week. So it's I'm always appreciative of the ones that start at home, you know,
right.
and that one is one that started at home. And then I'm trying to think something else that I'm working on with Senator Bailey. So
I was about to ask you, how often do you and Senator Bailey sponsor a bill together?
Well, whenever it's generated locally, either in Putnam County or in his district, we generally do bills together. Of course, he being commerce chairman, he has stuff that's sometimes more business related than I have. And so I'll carry some of his bills and then he'll carry some of mine. But sometimes he'll, like in finance, I may have a bill that I'm trying to do as it relates to certain taxation policy, and I'll go to Senator Watson to do that.
Yeah.
And so Senator Watson and I are working on a method in order to provide provider rate increases for physicians and medical providers as it relates to TennCare. We hadn't raised TennCare rates for physicians a long time, and he and I are working on a bill in order to do that. But Paul is not working on that bill because he's in the commerce space.
Right.
And Bo Watson's in finance, which mm-hmm. is part of the issue, but he's also a healthcare provider. And so that marriage works pretty good between the two. But ultimately, you know, Senator Bailey's got, what, 6 House members?
Yeah.
And
So
he's got a lot of bills that he has to carry because the difference between the House and the Senate is the House is limited to the number of bills that we can carry.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be 15. This year it was 12.
And that's going down again, right?
Yeah, they're wanting to move it down again.
Right, okay.
But it makes it really hard because of, well, it's like in your instance, it makes it very difficult because it's hard to find bill sponsors for it. And I will say, no, not disparaging any of my colleagues, but not all bill sponsors are created equal.
Right.
You know, it's
sure.
like some are better at subject matters than others or better at the debate or answering difficult questions than others. And so it's very important who your bill sponsor is.
Yeah, so like in my instance, our association started out with 8 bills, and we ended up filing 6. And mm-hmm. that's not all. Some people think that's not a whole lot, but for us it really is. So we're trying to find 6 sponsors for the House and the Senate. And we have really good luck because we have people that we continue to use, and I hope to use you one day because I know you support me.
I think I've carried 3 for the clerks before.
You probably have, And so this year I know we use some other people.
Yeah, because Wayne wears me out.
I'm sure he does.
Him and his pretty hair.
Yeah. The clerks had 3 bills this year, and that's not like them, but they decided to. But anyway, I appreciate you working with all of our officials, not only in my association, but all the elected officials, city and counties. You've been on the city side. Mm-hmm. You know what the counties do, and I appreciate you serving in that capacity.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Yeah.
It's funny. On my way to Nashville on Monday, I'll pick up the phone, call James Mills, and say, hey, what's going on? What do you need? Then on the way home today, I called Randy Porter, and I'm like, hey, what do y'all got going on? What do you need?
Yep.
And it makes a big difference. Paul and I work great together. But Keith and City Allgood, the city mayor there, and Upperman, I always call him Upperman, Baxter, and Cookville, we have a really good relationship. I tell people all the time, it's very unusual for us to get along so well and to work really well together. And we do. It's pretty amazing. And so I feel very blessed to have the relationships with the people I do, and I look forward to continuing to do that. It's going to be a really eventful next 3 weeks as we try to land this plane.
Well, good luck to you, and we're praying for you, and we thank you for all that you do.
Appreciate that so much. Thanks.
I've had State Representative Ryan Williams on here on Local Matters. This has been Rogers. Remember, it's a lot easier to smile than it is a frown. Make somebody's day. Be kind to one another. Love on each other. We'll see you next time.